Mr. Chairman, if any elder go to Narvik and wants to go to Tivo, we have furnished a boat to take them over, but then you have to buy your own gas. And if you have an elder there, take care of the gas, but then we'll take you there. If you go to Narvik and take the captain.
Elmer, on your question about the gun safety, training that you're going to be implementing for guns in the future, what would be the best way to go about this and make sure that we have a good handle on this? And what I think you're driving at is the prevention of accidents, you know, while you have that training.
That we don't need to be a certified gun safety instructor. So, but
we have, a licensed boat operator. I think that we should be certified.
Drivers that are Coast Guard licensed, so those are independent contracted people. We use Lori Shirk, we use Elmer, of course, as our camp driver, and we use Virgil Coffin, and they have their own rates, and some of them are up to $300 an hour. We have to use the Coast Guard licensed people. Like Wilbur said, if he wants to pick up elders and take them to the camp, he can't just do that unless it's a voluntary thing. It's not that easy anymore. There's so many laws and regulations we have to abide by for the safety of our kids. So we have to hire people.
Let me point to that. Who carries the insurance?
Nana carries the insurance.
So that applies to have license
programs? Nana's got insurance for Elmer, and we've been working the past 2 years on making sure that either the driver is insured or that during the duration of the camp that Nana covers insurance on that boat. But right now the insurance coverage is for the boat operator himself. But for the past couple summers we've been covering insurance for Elmer's operation.
I've got a Coast Guard license that when I first started working for Uncle Sister, I went to the training dad over here at the tech center, got my Coast Guard license, so I'm a licensed driver.
One other thing that I'd like to get out is if we're going to use these licensed folks, they should have care of their own insurance.
Yes,
covered by that.
Almost.
Not being covered by us.
The other.
They should be equipped like what the Coast Guard did. I have licensed over 500 guns.
I'm the only boat driver, the licensed boat driver that was covered by NAMA. All the other boat drivers that we hire have their own insurance, they have their own equipment, they have everything, the Coast Guard. When you take a test for the Coast Guard license, you have a list of stuff you need in your boat. And that's exactly what they have. I've checked them myself.
And the only reason we cover Elmer's insurance is because he's our NANA employee.
I'm staff.
He's our staff driver, so we cover
him.
Yeah,
I understand that other boat operators.
They all have their own insurance.
It was the same one made by somebody else.
I think we're still in fact, and I think we're drifting off to too much on the
bureaucrat.
But I'd like to see something, research being done so we can try to reduce the cost of both that.
Yeah. came up last year, I was gonna get my 100-ton, well, actually I'm still working on that, get my 100-ton license. The instructor that came up, I talked to him about the camp, what we're doing, and he's gonna, when he went back to Juneau, he was gonna talk to the commander about, as a matter of fact, he even called from here and told him about what was, what my job was, and Bob Winters already knew about that, but there's a block, there's a wall somewhere that we have to go over. We're working on exactly what they're talking about.
That's good, because we're not going to have enough money come one of these days to come in one of these years to cover this kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're working on that. As a matter of fact, I need to call Bob Winters down in Juneau, he's a Coast Guard commander, and I need to talk to him about what exactly what you're talking about before too long.
I think that's what Levi is trying to say, you know, this figure is going to kind of climb up every year. And we're not going to be able to afford it, not unless our agencies give us a hand on the cost, you know. I don't think that Marilyn can do it alone. Maybe the contribution is going to have to come up too. In order to reduce the cost.
Yeah, I had a couple times done already. Not very much, but it's going to be a good question. I think just allow me that if I read somebody's conversation, tell that driver's license and our Coast Guard license and stuff like that. I wouldn't say that everybody will get into trouble, but in case there'll be somebody. Driver or Coast Guard license, boat driver, got into trouble, like if he's not driving right while he has the children in the boat or something like that. If it's, now if we happen to have someone like that, there's a law, I bet, that like if you drive a car, say drunken driving, there's a penalty for that, there's punish that guy for that. And I bet you that boat driver would do the same thing. Would he lose his driver's license in case he got into that kind of a problem?
The part of the training that I went through is exactly what you're talking about. You cannot do a DWI in a boat. You lose everything. You lose your license. You lose whatever the Coast Guard wants. Because right now, with the Coast Guard runs like that, I'm in their mercy.
I wouldn't say that you're going to be in trouble, but sometimes maybe a new guy will be there. The driver's license. Nice to let them know.
For your information, we did have one driver this summer that was accused of having alcohol on his breath. And I called the Coast Guard. It was all hearsay, but I called the Coast Guard to see what the rules and regs were. He was not driving the boat, but he had an assistant who was driving the boat. But after that, we never used this driver for the remainder of the summer. But even that hearsay, I was not there. There were some people that reported it to me, and we stopped this person from driving immediately because he was the captain of the boat, but he had a driver who was driving the boat, and that's okay, according to the Coast Guard, if you have another driver driving the boat, because this driver is trying to work on his hours to get his license too. But that's for your information, and it did happen, and it could happen again in the future.
Okay, if that happened again, you don't need to go to the Coast Guard. You can go to the state system and handle that real quick. And the state system can go to the Coast Guard. I don't know anything about the Coast Guard. But it is illegal in the state of Alaska to operate a boat while under the influence of alcohol. And it is a criminal offense. Very similar. It's called like a WI. The only difference is
I said, Mr. Elder, this would be the move together.
The latest information, and maybe you may want to present something to them, because I know you guys are involved with kids a lot. So that's that information. That's one. Two, it looks like that we're going to be doing some village trips. We're going to Point Hope at the end of October to do some sentencing. We may be going to go to Ambler, and I think we're scheduled to go to Cibolina. And what we're trying to do is get enough cases to justify the expense. You were talking about how expensive the boat stuff is. State agencies are concerned about transportation costs, too. So we need a number of cases to do that, but we're trying to make it so that we'll make the circuit of the different villages with the different problems. I know that's not a positive thing, but it is an effort to work with the schools and make people aware of the different kinds of laws. And those are the only two items I have, unless you've got some questions.
We'll get copies of the letter for everybody, so you'll have some more information.
That's all the information I've got.
Richard, are you going to travel to all the villages?
We're going to try. Let me explain what happens. We need about two felony cases and some misdemeanor cases to make it economic. This sounds kind of crazy. We need about three or four cases from the village to justify the expense of going out. The fact of the matter is that the largest number of village cases come from Selawik. We have about 200 misdemeanor cases a year that come from outside of Kotzebue. Selawik has a good half of that. Then the next largest number of village cases is Norvik, but one of the things that has happened in the last 2 years is that villages where we used to have real rare cases, we're starting to see very major cases. I mean, I don't mean to pick on Buckland or Deering, but those are two villages where up until a year ago, we would only have one or two cases a year from those two villages, and very rarely would we have a felony. A felony is where you can go to jail for longer than a year. And it just seems that there have been a lot of Buckland people and a lot of Deering people who've been in front of the courts recently. I know there's a big concern about juveniles and some of the vandalism that's gone on. We're trying to set something up in some of the villages to address those concerns. That's a little tricky legally, but we're working on it. It looks like we might be able to go to some villages on these juvenile cases and do it in such a way that the community can participate.
Remember, I tell you,
yes,
and now you sent me a letter, and I like it, and I think everybody should have a copy of it because
that's nice. I send you a letter and you give it back to me, huh? You want me to explain it? Mildred had asked about the penalties for importation of alcohol. And first of all, when you bring alcohol, and understand that alcohol just isn't limited to what we think of booze, like R&R and 151 and beer and stuff like that. They redefined it so that Lysol stuff and other products that have alcohol in them, if you're intending to use it for human consumption, that too now qualifies as alcohol. So let me give you an example. If I come to Kotzebue and I buy a couple of cans of Lysol and take it back, and you know, I'm not like trying to hide it in my luggage or something like that, you can infer that I'm going to use it for what it's used for. But if I have 12 cans of Lysol and I pack it real good so they can't find it, then you can think I'm going to use it for myself. Anyway, importation is a Class A misdemeanor, which means a maximum penalty of a year in jail and a $5,000 fine. Now, a lot of these cases you see are called attempted importation. That means they stop the person in Kotzebue before the booze or the person gets to the village. That is a Class B misdemeanor, and that has a maximum penalty of 3 months in jail or $1,000 fine. Okay? So that's a different kind of crime because it wasn't finished. Now, if you bring over a certain amount of alcohol into a village, you can be charged with a felony. And importation can also be a felony offense. And that is 16/5 of whiskey, 12 to a case. So two, you know, a case and a half, and that's a felony level. More than 5 cases and 7 cans of beer, or 32/5 of wine. And if you have that much or more, that makes it a felony crime. And if it's a felony, the maximum penalty is up to 5 years in jail and or a $50,000 fine. But even though I talk about the maximum penalty, you have to understand when people are charged with felony offenses, the law says that if you're a first felony offender, like for an felony importation, you should only get a sentence of about 2 years in jail maximum, unless there are things which would make it more serious. And you should probably get less than 2 years in jail if it's your first time. Okay, and that's a state law. So although I talk about the maximum penalty, right, you got to understand that there are rules that says just because you do it, you don't get the maximum. The other thing you should understand is, because we were talking about DWI earlier, driving while intoxicated is now a felony offense. And if you have 3 DWIs in 5 years, your third DWI is a felony offense. And you have to serve a mandatory minimum sentence of 120 days in jail. Now, I just want to show you something. Let's say you are convicted of felony importation or sale of alcohol without a license. That's a felony. Let's say that happened in 1989, okay? And now you're on your third DWI within 5 years. I said if it's your third DWI and it's a felony, you have to do a minimum of 120 days. But if you have that prior felony conviction, you have to go to jail for 2 years on a DWI. If you have a prior felony conviction, that's a lot of time. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one more thing I'd like to bring up to.
Yeah.
I talked with the community CCD at a BCSO we meet up there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them would like to see one go up there and take some, from their side, they come with their own problem with parking. And from the park next door, it's very comfy, it's a family size park. And then I talked with the owner and they said,
okay. Two things, Mr. Chairman. One would be that you should have the Elders Council maybe pass a resolution saying you want a VPSO in Kivalina and that there's housing available. And that should go to Dan Snyder and Gomez and Steve. And Sergeant Bob Mead, who is the trooper sergeant in this place, they're in charge of how to allocate the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the way I think to do it.
I was going to get this because the elders together before I come and have them sign.
Oh, that would
but
be
then
nice.
We had the Mexican background. Everything was
that, by the way, Kivalina is another village where stuff is starting to happen that doesn't, I mean, we used to not get any cases from Kivalina, but we're starting to get some. So, yeah.
One thing, it would be nice if you get all the villages as office, so everybody knows
what the law is.
And how it is. And then, knowing they can get in trouble and have to be clear, you know, because we did something.
So send a letter to the village council from the IRA council. One of the things when we go to the village that we do is we meet with the kids in the schools and stuff, and we explain the outline of how the state law works. Spend a lot of time doing it. I know a lot of people get upset when they see 30 days suspended. You know, they sometimes think, oh, what's all that mean?
But the reality is that before we start sending folks to jail, we really do want to give them a chance to do better and change their ways. We have tried to get away from 30 days with 30 days suspended, so folks do understand that it's serious. And for misdemeanors, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, real quick.
You know the new domestic violence law that if you're charged with assault of a family member or relative, first of all, the police are required to arrest somebody. If they go to a home and there's a domestic violence situation, the police have to arrest somebody. That's what the law says. Two, when that person comes in front of the judge for their bail, the judge is not allowed to let that person go back home. And if the person goes back home in violation of that order, they are charged with a new crime.
Mr. Chairman, can I
right.
You okay. You're in custody not unless it's changed within the last 6 months, you know.
Right.
Many of our people from here will tell families that that person has to live a while first in order to put them in jail. And then, you know what happened.
Okay.
Happened, and then later, they put somebody in jail after it happened.
And the answer to that is, if there is a family, it used to happen a family member would immigrate, come home, and cause all sorts of problems. And people would say, we don't want that person home when they drink. Okay. Now, one thing you can do is you can get what's called a domestic violence petition. That is not a criminal thing. That is a civil order telling that person to stay away. To get one of those petitions, okay, you have to show that the person committed an act of domestic violence. And let's say the person came home one time drunk and they threw stuff around the house and you were scared. That's good enough to get that petition. Now all that says to that person is you have to stay away when you're drunk. I will tell you that people don't remember that stuff. And those are not effective orders when you word them that way. You have to say, you stay away and you can go get treatment, right? But if the person should violate the order and come to the house, then that is a criminal charge and the police just come and arrest the person and take them away if he's ordered not to be at the house. The other thing about this domestic violence stuff that I need just to make you aware of, because you were talking about the Coast Guard this morning, the world has changed in Northwest Alaska. But one of the things that's happening is if you are convicted of a misdemeanor domestic violence assault, you are not allowed to have a weapon. Now, that means that if you want to go buy a gun and they go do the Brady check, you're not going to be able to get the gun. That's one, because you have a conviction. Two is, we know that the federal law will not be enforced, but it is important for people to start being aware of that consequence, because maybe not by the year 2000, but by the year 2030, that law may start being enforced. So it's not just felons who have to be, if you're convicted of a felony, it's not just that situation you've got to be concerned of now. Now, they're making certain kinds of
to happen is people would they would go to the house, and the cops would arrest them and put them in protective custody, and after 12 hours let them go. That's what used to happen.
But it's not
happening anymore. Cops do not take people into protective custody because of liability, and so now everything is done very formal and very by the book. Now there are communities in Canada where people have this problem, and so what they do is they take the person, tie him up outside of the house, and then after he's sober, they let him come in. That is a community. I mean, we all know what the concern is. The concern is, you know, we really don't want the criminal stuff. We want some place for the person to go, but I'm saying the system doesn't work that way anymore, and maybe a community response like that might be might address the problem.
So even if somebody's real person bothering the family, then you just got to go on and on and on.
Unless you get, if they're real drunk, they're a family member, and they're causing fear for safety or concern for safety, you can call the police and say, this is a domestic violence situation, I want him arrested. If the police say no, then what you can do is say, okay, contact the on-call judge, I want to do a domestic violence complaint. And that's the other way.
Judge Rory?
Yeah.
I have a thing here that I will be making report pretty soon on my village report. That's part of it. We had a problem at home at Cayenne. We are talking of young men being drunk and bother the whole family, and also I'd like to know if that person is an elder, old age, 80-some years old, and they don't live up to
cause problems.
Yeah, heart problems and stuff like that. So I understand that every elder has a right to report things like that. And if we get that lady or old man to sign up a paper, where shall it go to? To the village, like we have a girl there working under that program, family.
Okay, you're talking about the ICWA, Lori Stocker? Is that who you're talking about?
Lori.
Yeah. There was a name change in there. Mary. There is a, now, first of all, I understand that when we talk about domestic violence, we talk about the women being the victim, and that's generally true. And so, the system is geared that way. For example, the Regional Women's Crisis Center, the name says women. But what I would recommend is if there is an elder, man or woman, who has that kind of problem, they should contact the Regional Women's Shelter, and they can help them fill out the paperwork for this domestic violence petition. Okay, that's the way to do it. And I will talk with them about working with elders and suggest that that's a need. I know there is a real problem in the villages, okay? Because there's two problems. One, how do you get these pieces of paper? You just have to call the court. But if I'm an elder, I don't know all of this stuff, and I don't know where to go for help, okay? But either call the court or the women's shelter. They will help fill out the paperwork, and then things can go from there. Now, the other thing that happens is we've had situations where elders have come to court to get these things, and they don't want to get their children in trouble. And when I say children, I'm talking about the 30 and 40-year-old child. who's causing all this trouble, problem. The fact is that if you get a DV, what I'm calling a domestic violence petition, a DV petition, it is a civil order. That means that it's not criminal. It's only when the order is violated does it become a criminal case. So if the person obeys what the order says, they won't get in trouble. If they disobey, then they do get in trouble. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, a person goes to Kotzebue from the village, and then we knew he went down to go get the booze, and then he had him in a bag. Where you get the authority to stick on that?
All right. Real quickly, I'm sorry, Levi. I won't ever do this again. There are, one, somebody says Joe Schmo is coming to the village bringing booze. How do you know? I saw him pick up booze in Kotzebue and pack it in a brown pack box, and there was a sticker on the box. And what's your name? Bill X. The trooper then goes to the judge and asks for a search warrant to search the box in the possession of Joe Schmo, based on what Bill X said. He will get a search warrant. Let's say that Joe Schmo is in the village starting to unload his boxes. They're in the sled. The DPSO got this phone call, okay? And because they're in the sled, y'all remember how Kim used to kick the boxes at the airport? Or is that just me? Anyone remember? Anyway, so the VPSO goes by the sled and kind of kicks the sled and hears tinkle, tinkle, little bottle. And he says, aha, I have this report that says the guy was bringing in the booze. I kicked the sled and I heard that it sounded like bottles. I'm going to seize that box. I can't open it, but I'm going to seize it, take it, and I will apply for a search warrant. And so he calls Kotzebue to get a search warrant. He may or may not get it. The third way it happens is they're in the village. He's unloading the box. The VPSO comes up and says, hey, Joe, how are things going? Pretty good. What's in the box? Booze. I'm being very straight. We've had these examples. Okay, that lets them take the box and open it. Or they can say, can I open the box? And Joe says, okay. And it's done with permission, and they can open it and then seize it. Answer the question?
Yep. Thank you.
There's a lot of ways it can be done. When did you become an elder?
I'm not clear on that last one before. If there's a problem, they've got to call the courthouse or the woman's shelter. Most of these things happen in the middle of the night, so basically they're not going to be able to. Is there any way to have that form in the village at the city?
Supposedly this. First of all, it's my understanding that the VPSOs have those forms, that the village offices do, or the IRAs do for these petitions. That's item one. Item two, the example we were talking about was not what was happening at the time. When it happens at the time, okay, like the son said, just call the VPSO, they'll take the son out. I mean, if there's that's causing a problem. And that's a criminal way of handling it. The civil way is nothing has happened yet, but stuff has happened in the past, and I don't want it to happen in the future. So that's when we go through the women's shelter or the court.
And the places without a VPSO, where would they go?
You know what? Those are all real good questions, real good problems. I would say check with the village or call the court or the women's shelter. There's going to be a conference for the women's shelters folks in December to talk about the problems of providing services to the village. And the court will be involved in that. And it's a real problem. And I don't know the best way to provide the services. When did she become an elder? Levi, come on! 5 minutes. Okay, yeah.
I have a question. This might clarify more because on the domestic violence.
Yeah.
If the grandparents or whoever fill out the domestic violence form and tell their grandson or whoever to stay away from a home when they are drinking. And, but if that person is sober, he can be at the home dwelling. Okay.
If the order says stay away when intoxicated, that means they can't be at the home when they're intoxicated. But they can be at the home when they're sober. Okay, but I want to say something about that because it's a real problem. The fact is that when you get one of these orders, and let's say it was the way, stay away when you're intoxicated. When the person is intoxicated, he doesn't remember the order. And so if he's always been going home, then when he's intoxicated, he will go home. If the order says, stay away and I want you to get some treatment, and I don't want you coming back till you've had the treatment, then he knows he's got to stay away. And that's why I understand the heart part of this, but I'm real concerned about that, because in effect what you're saying when you say that is, okay, I'm going to call the police when he comes to the house drunk, and then I know the police will have to take him away. Yeah.
That's the thing that I want to make sure. A lot of elders won't fill out those forms because it'll take their son away completely away because
right, but when you fill out
the
form,
the minute the person sobers up.
Okay.
And then
when you fill out the forms, you're in control of what the order says.
Yeah.
But if you're the person is arrested for domestic violence, nobody's in control. The law says they ain't going home.
Right now, here we have no CPSO.
Right.
You know, we have them too many relatives. One from out of town.
It is really a difficult job being a VPSO, especially if you're in a village where you've got family. But maybe the thing to do is to, at a future meeting, invite Sergeant Meade or Gomez, Steve, I think of him as Gomez, to a meeting to talk about those problems, and they can talk about the problems they, you know, their folks have experienced. So that maybe that's a way to help.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. I'm sorry.
On this letter on November 6th, these folks are coming to continue to have meetings. I think we need to have a representative from our elders council, since we have two of them that lived in Constitute, along with Elmer Goodwin and Jonas and this Elmer here. If one of you at least could be in that to represent our elders, would be nice. I would think we could, anybody else, if anybody of one of you that are there in Constitute at that time, would say invite you to attend that meeting, because I think it's something that we need to support and to give a backup for. anything that you do with our young people, we need to have a full support from the elders. And anything that you do with our, to help our young people. Thank you. All right, let's go down to a trip to subsistence meeting, Elmer. Here's Elmer.
Okay, the Elmer subsistence. So now, you write, Charlie Curtis, your co-prolific badass. Don't walk through. I think subsistence representative will come out of the kitchen too, or Lahmina. I think I'm stuck to one of the money, your group. We're only one in the area, we can make it a couple of that. The borough, the assembly, don't want to show, the late money, the cook. Board member, don't want to show, and Nana, and the board. Some KIC, don't know what they do. What they do, woke, Kanarin, Lissinin, Lee, Maribunuk, Charlie, so this is for Stockman, Nanamon, it's for Therapy, you know, Maribunuk. So someone I see you were, I think Matali, you're Bunuk, but then it's later on, I think it's around 2 weeks, I wrote up Kanak, here up 2 weeks, that's for, to be told. Governor Supposer Selena, not that, 48 Major, Major Selena, President Chuck Mada, Hastings Mada, Tuna, 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 Yunel pun mana han murah kota, tak kali han nerus lugu. Sejam kuna, sejam governor, supaya terlanga kusul lapaya lugu ini ini wicap cap ini wicu. Kelan, federal government, tak ada pasir putih gunblu, federal fish and wildlife putih gunblu makan nuna allah ni nanti cap. Tapi jual lak dulu, istirahat dulu. Jadi ini lak dulu, ini bau ini peni, si peni, ini naik lak tiun, kemas kuno na anggur tiun si peni, ini naik lak tiun ini lak dulu tema, ini ok ini lak kacok teman, ini kaca, Barbara tiada spek. Kami nak tapat tengok mana, kata makap setiap macam tu deh. Kami nak tahu pelu, mana dia pun ni. Makap sihir lekar hati. Ini ni makap sihir tengah kita percaya pelu, sama sama kau beli dapat. Satu road kami, satu road tu percaya pelu, tak tahu apa. Lepas kali nak pun dia tu nak. Tapi moral lah kita dah muda. Kita terus distraktif. Kita dah punya lah tu nak lep. Nah, ada sekejap dah okey sini kita tu ni orang saya nak sesuatu kita tu yang lep tu. Tapi sini kita sama ni court judgement. Tapi orang apa pun tu. Yo yo kalau ada pun ada. Lalu wa, sekian yang terang berupa kilometer. Kalau betul ko, agak ke orang menjadi pada jahat, agak ke hukum cuba namun, passport tak silang ke, masih masih naik sih. Enggak wa atau jenis jenis tapi selain kami memang intai ketawa. Kalau negri masih ketawa, tapi passport tak naik cuba namun. Belum dekat distance pun, walaupun aku belakang tu, saya mungkin pasti Bibilalia, Governor Una, Hatsu Rodik, Nibai Kuntana, Subsistent Nami, Anguora Duty Panic, United Open Sleep, Tamna, along with that, Lelumi, Tamna, Sandangura, Tatna Kinik Task Force, Kapu Blue, Sumati Lakshuli, Alam Nigala, Kamata Samani, Governor, First Day, Task Force, Saktu Mami, Emma, Anik Sigman, Kamit, Tavruma, Jadi unak unak tapi seminggu sebelum support calon migrasius, kemudian tap unak unak ini pengunjung sambil juru galak kasual uli tu masih lu dana di sisi nato, kanu lu, barang ni dia lu, ini per tu nih ini per ni kayu unak mit kasual area. Crystal Bay, the Lop Island, Rock, the Yupova, the Darkness Phoenix, the Yala, the Witch Task Force, the Stone Army, the Phoenix Sana, the Noah Luck, the Mother City, the Witch, 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 the sudah lalu, nanti yang udah tuh ini kasih baru ni, lalu apa alat sulap duit, alat apa, apa yang duit, garasi, kita di garasi, turun di garasi, apa sekali si, ada inilah sahuk si, yang udah mel si, dah jalan duit. Saya alam muda, kuyalum malayu, bokap cutik sahau si, nalu, jinak polisi,
lebeti tanya, mula muka cutik lebeti.
Wildlife ang alat si Pilaka nga na lumunat lupukakot who was going to take charge of wildlife, you know, preservation, which is what mostly they were talking about. If you love Lugu, if not, bato won of kakit katak patiwut tatna sa niyakakta saman na Aglan keuba akan lakukan mengakpati itu sama sununa anggur itu state or the federal government tabungan tamno kawasan itu sama ni kawasan sama diri nak satu sama dari pelajar mesti kita balik lagi bersyukur mari
Right now, I guess he's watching the BC, clearing out the region, but I'm still in the holding. Not money that could be used to what we do. Money that could be used to what we put in the holding, clearing out the region this week. Some of the Abruma, clearing out the Kaku, and it's not Kilanga, the Abruma.
Alin ulak tignin, nisang pula matin yung nakutor ha. Kamda, nagbibigil lakas, kapit board member, ulit, ulawa, nagbibigil ulit yung. Tingin na ako ta, pinukor lakot, lido ulak tignin. Kamda, sa tigipan, important ulak. Kamda, awa, nagbibigil lakas, na president of tignin do, ulit, kama
I'm
got a fire permit and your car. The woman that put the door. And the woman that lost all my friends. The world that just happened. You see my own, I'm going to need a house, you see my own. I'm going to stop.
safety. Let's go up to the middle. So there is no good to say go. I can go on your family, so I hope it's a very good. So here's his name. Can I stop? Young one. Good sir. Second in the tower. I have time to leave the room.
mangi wit no khani sik ka di wit kap ti di wit a ki to 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 ni wit na a ri lak ti ngur ki wit ru ma mu ni tak ti lak di wit ka na ki at la ka wit kap ti ru ma khani sik di wit ka ru ma ru ma ka ni ho ta na ku lu ni ni go lu na ni te ta na a ka la pe ni ka kan ni ni no pak to ni la ma ta
overnight and get to see the whole thing. Right now they're under construction and he said the overnight trip is on for this year, but we can do day trips at any time we want to. Like we did the last time on June, I think. Yeah, go for the day and come back. So the overnight trip is off for this year, but next year when they complete their construction, we said we're more than welcome to come up and stay overnight. That way we'll take you down to the port side, maybe spend a day down there and come back. But at any time this year or any time you want, all we need to do is you guys let me know. I'll call Cole, we'll set a date, and you guys can be back to go up to Redtown. And Andy Baker here has a report on Frontier Airlines, I believe.
I was talking to Elmer in July about
case at Anvil Jail. And Elmer was telling me how good that was, went, and but now they wanted to do a trip to Anchorage sometime. So, but the funding and everything. So anyway, I talked to Alaska Airlines and Frontier and told them how good it went and what a good thing. And I couldn't get a commitment out of Alaska, but Frontier said if you guys want to do it, they'll give four tickets, to three tickets to go down and go to Anchorage to do that. So something to keep in mind if you want to do that kind of program again. And I forget where Elmer said, maybe Palmer, I think Elmer.
Yeah, earlier this, about 3 months ago, I wrote a letter for you people to Palmer Correctional Facilities down there, see if we can get a delegation of elders to go down there. But I have never received an answer from them yet. I've been calling over there, but it seems like every time I call that person, he's out doing something else and never comes back to me. But what I could do tomorrow, hopefully I'll write another, or just track the same letter down to Pat Riley and see what, see when it would be good for you to come down. The question was from us was just, when could we come down? And right now, that's where it's at. So if people want again, I could just track that same letter back down to Pat Riley and see if he could put it together and all that, where you can get four tickets to Frontier, and that would really help us maybe get the delegation of four from you people here.
So just let me know, Elmer could let me know if you want to do it, and I can continue and get those tickets, and the borough could help in some way in the other parts, hotel or the museum or something. Talk to the mayor and that, if you're willing to help in that, and don't do the matter. So let me know on that. The other thing is, real quickly, I just wanted to touch on the assembly, how we've made the elders, the new chairman, part of the assembly. And so right now your chairman sits on all of the assembly meetings. Your chairman is on the meetings and just like any assembly member. So one, I want to urge you to utilize that. If there's anything that we need to know, we need to make sure Levi and his absence and Elmer know that, bring it up, and that way you're right there, your issues are right before us. And the second part of that is I want to urge you to, and I know you've talked to Nana already, I think, about the same thing, but I want to urge you to, and the borough, we can write a letter from the borough too, but I think that we need to have an elder on the school board, Manila board, Nana board, all the major boards, you know, we should try to get an elder, and as Levi can tell you, it's really helped the assembly to have him there and giving us your guys' needs.
Chairman, a little later in the meeting here, we will talk about exactly what he's talking about. Remember the letter that you had us write to Nana, Burrow, Manila? About having one of the elders or two elders sit in their board meeting, and we're going to give a report to the person later on this afternoon on that.
Yep. Thank you, and I would really say the school board too. I think that would be a good place on the school board to teach in there too.
Yeah, that was one of the questions earlier, I believe, yesterday. That we never got to write the letter to the school board.
Yeah.
Which is really important.
The Nana board approved Levi and I have replaced the board. That's the
place. Since we're talking about it right now, can we just address that issue and get it over with?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Andy.
One other thing, Andy's running for the assembly again, and his assembly chief Scott, the rep, and Lydia Scott is running also in the same seat. Let us,
helpful and useful to our world. Before we go into this other one here, I got Barbara one too.
Yung nana kasi unungan pa mo nung nakain si kun nakatuloy nung siya nakasari ako yari mo at hindi ko umuna isa yung kaya kami sa toki lesa hindi ko pagma kas early yung hindi si magali ang nagsak kas early niya yung kasi nung nilugi hindi ko kasi kaya magla kasi ano tangi hindi ko yan hindi na yawa.
So let's take care of you while we're in this subsidy, Master Stone. Martha?
With the elders sitting on all the boards, we got responses from Nana, we got responses from the borough. The only one we never got response from was Manila because they just hired a new president, but we think that Manila will have one of you guys sit on their board too. And we wanted to ask for volunteers from this group because I know Levi travels day in and day out and Elmer day in and day out maybe. If any of the other elders want to volunteer and sit on the borough assembly or the Nana board, then you could do that. We've got letters from Nana and I just got a letter from the borough, but I don't think I put it in your packet. But the letters are in your packet for any one of the elders to sit on the Nana board or borough assembly. And I think that Manila will, and we didn't address the school board, but I think that that's important. And if it's your wishes, then we could get a letter to the school board to see if we could get elder representatives to sit on the school board too.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I think Manila had so much business the last time that they met trying to select the president, but I spoke to Ben yesterday that they're going to have another board meeting sometime this week, I think, and they'll probably take care of that letter. But he said that they got the letter, they received the letter that we wrote to them.
Yes, they got the letter, and at this time right now, Levi, he can either sit on the borough assembly and on the Nana board, and you know, I don't know how much energy he has to go sit in at these meetings on a regular basis. So if there's anybody else that would like to sit on the Nana board, you know, not every meeting, but if there's any other volunteers from this council that would like to help Levi or help Elmer or help any of the executive boards, then let me know, and we'll have all the meeting dates, and we'll have who's going to be traveling on what dates. We'll keep you informed on when the next meetings are and whether or not you could make it to the Nana board meeting or the borough assembly meeting.
Mr. Chairman, what stops in your opinion is you that I mean what did you mean that to work in you need to mamnuk to you now stop katimaroni to stop
it'd be a good idea if we get names of the ones that want to volunteer, would like to volunteer, and if Levi or Elmer can't make it, then we could call on any one of you that volunteers. Could we get some names from, if everybody raised their hand, we can use you all.
Did you say please raise your hand?
If any of you want to help, let us know, because right now we're going to be counting on Levi quite a bit, and that's a heavy load on his shoulders, and he'll come back and report to you guys. So you'll go to the meeting, it'll be either funded by NANA or funded by the borough, and you'll go listen in. Right now for NANA, you don't have voting rights. You could listen in and provide guidance and direction, but you won't be able to have a formal vote. But you'll go to the meeting and then come back when we have our next regional elders council meeting, and then you'll report what they did during their borough assembly meeting and what they did during their NANA board meeting. Oh, and another thing Marie asked me to address is this all their meetings, or is this just their meetings in Cassidy or in the region? Because NANA board will meet again in October at AFN in Anchorage, and they don't always meet in Cassidy. So they want you guys to decide if you want to meet in the region only, or if you should go to other places where they're going to be meeting. Like if they go to Hawaii or something, show you Malika or Tribute Hill.
On the borough side, Marcia, we consider it every place. We want it every place.
We have our regional elders here. KIC is just local. That's the reason why we didn't write a letter to KIC.
But we need to write to our school district.
Yeah.
District board.
Okay, that's clear. Then we won't bother with KIC, not unless Pastor Elders want to.
Levi, were there any other volunteers that want to help sit on any of these meetings? If Levi can't make it or if Elmer can't make it, can I see a show of hands and we'll take your names down in case these guys can't make it to a meeting?
Everybody, 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 everyb
And Elmer will draw a name.
First, we'll check with Levi to see if he can or cannot make it. And then if you say he can't, then if he asks Elmer if he's free, if he can't, then we'll just go down the list of elders.
Yeah.
We don't have a process yet. This is brand new. You know, we can go alphabetically. We can go by age. We can go by, we can just probably grab a name out of the hat. Or if it's going to be held in your village, maybe we'll ask that person from that village to attend that meeting.
Nana, select me at the at the land committee. When they're having a land committee there, they want to do that. So as long as there's land committee meeting in that Nana board, they select me to be in that.
And
comment that go beer sitting no serio.
Anybody want to stay for Colin's Mendenhall's funeral? I don't know if anybody wants to stay or not. I'm not even sure when his funeral is, but if anybody wants to stay in Kasumi for that, then you're more than welcome to do that. Just change your airline tickets for the time you're going home. But for housing and per diem and meeting fee, we won't give you housing, per diem, or meeting fee. If you're going to stay, you'll have to stay with your EAs and let us know if you need help changing your reservations if you want to go home after the funeral. And I don't know what when his funeral is going to be.
Okay. So, give us some of the tip now.
That alcohol policy from the organization is just an update. We talked about this the last time we met, and there's an alcohol and drug policy that I think we have one from Manila that might be in your package, but it was, we were to write a letter to Nana Manila in the borough and address it to the school board with the alcohol and drug policy. All those three organizations have an alcohol and drug policy, NANA, Manila, and the borough. And they all responded to us, and they all have a policy on hand. And Linda's not here, or Chuck is, or they're both not here, but they wanted to maybe do a resolution to the school board, because that's mainly who this was addressed to in the beginning, was to the school board, and what kind of issues they were going on. But Chuck mentioned that the best thing we should do maybe is to pass a resolution, but we'll, Linda Jewell from the borough was going to draft a letter for the elders and see if you guys wanted to pass a resolution on the alcohol and drug policy addressed to the school board.
That would be good.
Yep.
Just since we're talking about the alcohol, when we make these policies for these organizations, this body, all of us, should be aware of this, and we should be using that alcohol when we're down here in this meeting. Because we're trying to be the leaders of what that called Mako organization, Dagna, Dagna Civic, Olaf Pilara, Ubogut, Uwane, El Doluta, Kadimba Yogiuka, Dagna Civic, Ubogut, Adura, Odigaluka, Sangha Omiatu, Tamna, Colony of Shari, Put, Ubogut, Kadimba Yakta, Suli, Tamna, Dagna, Organization of Dagna, Pitilaru, Tapco, Organization to Rayumi, Ubogut Elfini, Dagna Mistaura, Odigalu, Kadimba Yakta. Sang ini dia itu kau nak saya itu tak nak buat mandi jalan pil kau tak nak punya alkohol itu kau pernah di sudah pernah tahu tu. Anything else on that?
I just had to report on the response that we got from the from the organization. So they all have alcohol and drug policy except for the school board.
Okay.
The district themselves have an alcohol and drug policy, but not their school staff.
Education.
Now the teachers who belong to that are, I think, going to protest that policy.
It's the teachers, they formed their own union, I think, about 6 years ago, so that's why we can't get into their policy.
Yeah, they have what they call tenure system. And, pretending they have that they cannot be fired, but it also stipulates that they can be fired for a cause and using drugs and those things are justifiable cause for removal. I don't think there's no protection. I think that's the reason why we're going to protest that. We must try to put in a little bit. Now, when we look at the American people, you know, talking about.
There's nothing that says we can't touch their union. We could